There is real fear from the European Union to Canada to the United States because on March 1st, China will no longer accept much of the waste it's been importing for recycling. The ban covers 24 kinds of solid waste, including some kinds of paper and plastic garbage. China has been the world's largest importer of scrap metal, paper, and plastic, and the new restrictions are already having an impact on the global recycling trade. Joining us now is Kate O'Neill, who's a professor of global environmental politics at the University of California, Berkeley. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on the show.
And let me just start with an example here, which is I take a plastic bottle, let's say, and I put it in the recycling bin at my office in the United States. What happens to it? Does it go all the way to China?
It very well might. The figures that we have suggest that about half of the plastic waste that we throw away into recycling bins will wind up in a container ship on its way to China.
And why?
Oh, for lots of reasons. One of which is that we have not very much infrastructure here in the country, this country, to actually recycle them effectively, especially the lower quality kinds of plastics. Another reason is that China has huge demand for any kind of scrap or other recyclable materials to feed its industry. We just don't have the markets. And the third reason is that the shipping is really cheap. The waste and the scrap simply goes back in the holds of the container ships that bring all the consumer goods to us from China.
And is China the only country that does this, that wants all of this waste, or at least has up until now?
It's the main country. It takes in well over half of the world's plastic and paper scrap, at least, and actually a pretty high percentage of copper, aluminum, and a couple of other of the high-quality metals.
So tell us why China has decided that it doesn't want this situation to go on any longer.
It's been getting a lot of it, and a lot of it has been dirty or contaminated or mixed different kinds of plastic or paper or scrap mixed together. It makes it very hard to deal with. It's very low quality on the whole. They're certainly keeping some of the high quality scrap, but China is also trying to really amp up its image on the global stage. We've seen this happen in climate change, and now we're seeing it a little bit more generally. And I think they feel that taking in the world's garbage is something that a leading world power should not be doing.
So what's going to happen to all that waste now?
Oy, that's the hard question. At the moment, one big trend is happening, which is that the waste is going to other countries in Southeast Asia. China's been slowing down on this for a few years now. And if you look at the data, Malaysia, for instance, has really spiked its imports. I think Vietnam, maybe Indonesia, countries that are starting to take it in. And frankly, we don't know what's happening to it there. China, we actually had more of an idea. Here, I think we're seeing municipal authorities starting to really crack down on what kinds of plastics they take. That's going to lead to more diversion to landfill. Over the longer term, there are a bunch of organizations, not just government ones, but also private, who are trying to fund the building of new infrastructure. And in a strange twist, I was reading something yesterday that apparently Chinese scrap recyclers are coming to the States to see if they can build recycling plants here.
Well, so yeah, tell ironic. Us more about that. I would think that many people in the U.S. might be surprised to hear that we don't do a lot of this stuff ourselves. But how expensive is it to build one of these recycling facilities?
We frankly and rightly so have more regulations about these sorts of plants, and it's expensive here. It's expensive to site it. And the low-quality plastics, frankly, are very hard to turn into anything useful. Plastic downgrades very quickly in the recycling process. So while the rigid plastics, the clean plastics, can be turned easily into other things, lower quality plastics, much harder to figure out what they would be used for, especially given that we don't have necessarily all of the demand or the markets for it in this country.
As somebody who studies this, you know, we're talking about a problem of where we're going to recycle all of this waste. Do you also think that the bigger picture is, why are we creating all of this waste in the first place? Do you think that what China is doing might spur countries in the West to stop using so many plastic bottles and other materials that then have to be sent around the world to be recycled?
Oh, I really hope so. There are campaigns building right now, as they have around plastic water bottles, but plastic bag bans. And the campaign that I'm really kind of watching and enjoying right now is raising awareness and finding alternatives for single-use plastic straws. I think people are becoming much more aware of the plastics that they use on a daily basis, slowly but surely. One of the big issues that's really highlighted this for a lot of people is the issue of plastic waste in the oceans that we are largely responsible for, and I think is raising a lot of alarm worldwide.
So as we approach this March 1st deadline, which is when the ban on imports of waste goes into effect in China, what are you going to be watching for to see the effects of that?
I would more accurately, by the way, call it a crackdown. It's technically a limit on contamination thresholds that's impossible to meet. But the scrap recycling associations are saying it's effectively ending those exports from here, imports into China. What are we going to look for? I think right away there'll be pile up of plastics in ports, in scrapyards, in the recycling industry. They are rapidly finding other countries to send the plastics to. And I think also what's going on is that the scrap industry and its representatives are trying to work at the legislative level, both trying to get this issue on national trade agendas, also potentially on international trade agendas.
That's Kate O'Neill, who is a professor of global environmental politics at the University of California, Berkeley. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.